today, say the best weapon is one you never have to fire. I respectfully disagree. I prefer the weapon you only have to fire once. That's how Dad did it. That's how America does it. And it's worked out pretty well so far.
Gun Dudes Radio, sponsored by the Gun Dude and Nation First Radio. We are a friendly firearms store focused on a responsible firearms community. Check us out on the web at thegundude.com, on Twitter at @the_gun_dude, not to mention Facebook, Instagram, and Tumblr. I want to thank Nation First Radio for this great opportunity again. I'm here with Josh and Jenna. I'm Jeremiah.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Welcome, welcome.
How's everybody doing today?
Doing good, doing good. Early. Haven't had enough coffee yet, I don't think.
Is there ever enough coffee?
No. Coffee supplies are going down.
That's all I have to say about that.
No, this is not acceptable. But no, I need to hear more.
The supplies are going down, and a lot of people are giving up their farms just to go to the bigger cities where the economies are better, to, you know, ideally for to make better money.
Better opportunity.
Wait a minute. Absolutely. Wait, was this on Facebook? I mean, have we peer-reviewed this? I mean, is this real? I mean, because this could be a crisis.
It seems to be real. I mean, I did see it on Facebook, but it was a news shared take on it, I guess you could say.
Oh, no. Okay, we're going to have to do some more research. We'll get the minions on it and figure it out.
Time to move to Columbia.
Yeah, no kidding, right? No, wait. I'm not sure Columbia's a good move. I don't know.
Maybe we should just have our own coffee farm.
Outstanding. I'm on board. We'll go ahead and put that on the to-do list and get that nailed down.
Right down in Falls Church.
Right in the back parking lot.
Yeah.
I think Steve would be all right with that.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
Knock the building right down.
Steve and his Turkish coffee, is it? No, it's Armenian.
Armenian.
Yeah, he doesn't like Turkish, what we call Turkish coffee.
Oh, I'm telling him you said that, too. Those of you who don't know, Steve is our landlord. He's been very generous to us. He owns Beatles Leatherwork downstairs.
Yeah, and he does not like it when we call it Turkish coffee.
No, not at all. Sorry, Steve.
He does phenomenal leather work, though.
Yeah, he does.
His door's constantly opening and closing.
So one of the things we wanted to talk about last episode, we'll be talking about this episode, is the recent blog I wrote on Deadpool guns in America, because I think it's a really interesting commentary on the idea of how firearms play in our society and pop culture. And then we have the dialogue going on in the national dialogue in the legislative branches about how firearms are going to interface in our society as far as regulatory control, background checks, and all that jazz. And it's usually very, very heated debate, right? I mean, it's much like religion. People believe in that Second Amendment right very passionately. And sometimes the rhetoric that occurs with that is kind of challenging. But, you know, what I focused on in that blog that I wrote about Deadpool is that I was watching the previews. You guys seen the previews for Deadpool, by the way?
I haven't.
I have.
Yeah.
I'm actually going this
weekend. Wait, you haven't? Do you live under a rock or something, Jenna?
I don't know. I just haven't seen it.
Okay, you need to get on the Book of Face and find some Deadpool previews, because they are rocking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really stoked to see this movie. But what we see is handguns, right? Firearms are being used to solve all the problems, society's problems. You got this guy rolling around with some pretty cool guns. The picture on the blog I use, he's holding a couple of Desert Eagle, look like 50 cals maybe. Mm-hmm. Might be 44 mags, but who knows, right? You know, whatever. And solving all those problems with firearms. And it harkens back to when I was out at SHOT Show in Las Vegas, right? I'm sitting in my hotel room. I'm flipping through channels, you know, just channel surfing mindlessly, not really paying attention. And in about 10, 15 minutes, I went through about 10 or 15 channels. Yeah, 15 channels. Out of those, 10 of them had a heroine solving their problem with firearms. I mean, we saw Rambo, I saw Die Hard, NCIS. Over and over and over again, there's an individual faced with overwhelming odds who finally, you know, lays their hand on a firearm and they prevail. No problem at all.
All problem solved,
right? I mean, it's like it's this fantasy world where as long as you can get a firearm, no matter what the problem is, it's all going to work out, right? Of course, they don't, you know, show the follow-on where the guy's got to sort out all the legal problems, the psychological problems, the financial problems following the civil lawsuits of all the bad guys he killed. But, I mean, you know, all the problems are solved, of course. And then in our international dialogue, right, I mean, what are some of the topics we've heard recently? We heard the President Obama's executive order.
Yes.
You know, which a lot of that was pretty sensible, you know, updating the NICS system and whatnot, or the National Criminal Incident Check System, which hadn't been updated since the 90s. I think it's genius. But as we talk about how firearms are going to continue to interface in our society, with all the negative things happening in the world surrounding firearms, I mean, you know, Paris, some of the strictest gun laws in the world, and yet they had an active shooter. Now that's, you know, one, so that's, you know, not too bad when we talk about ratios here. And then we had the San Bernardino shooting, and over again we see nefarious people doing nefarious things with this tool, with this firearm. Mm-hmm. And but yet our culture, you know, our entertainment culture feeds us all the time that the, you know, firearms are it, and we love it. We just eat it up. I'll admit I do too. You know, Bond, Bourne,
John Wick.
John Wick. Oh, why'd you have to even bring that up? I mean, we need to go watch that right now. I think we can just go ahead and end the show right now and go watch John Wick. but all the time we're being told that the firearm is the solution, and then we get into the political environment, and the firearm is villainized. And what I think we really miss in a lot of these discussions is, why is it that we're killing people? We're focused on the tool, right? But a rock, a Bic pen, a semi-truck, these can all be used. When I was a counterintel agent at the Pentagon, Al-Qaeda had put out their guide on how to wage jihad. And they were saying, get a Dodge 3500 and put a big bumper on it and drive through a crowd. And I was like, wow, that's terrible, but genius. You know, you don't have, it's unregulated, right? You know, mm-hmm. We talk about motor vehicle deaths. There's more of those in the nation per year than firearms
related.
But you know, we would really focus on the tool that's being utilized rather than, you know, what's the root cause of why we are deciding to kill each other. And it's a very frustrating thing because we've got those competing dialogues going on. We've got the entertainment industry where it's teaching us, our children, everybody in the society that guns are the solution. And then we've got the legislative branch where, guns are bad and we need to outlaw them. And then someplace in the middle is probably where we're going to find ourselves ending up, where we continue as private citizens to own firearms, be allowed to carry our firearms. And I think what we're really missing, and I know you guys weigh in on this because I'm talking a lot.
That's okay.
I have a habit to do this, but I think what we're going to find is that the community of firearms owners and not firearms owners are coming together and being well-trained and aware of their environment, and that community can help decrease the opportunities for those bad people who choose to do bad things by being aware, by reporting suspicious and anomalous behaviors. It doesn't require...
See something, say something.
Yeah, right? See something, say something. The government had a great campaign on that, and it worked pretty well. I remember being in counterintel getting reports that were very useful to us because there's far more eyes out there in the private sector as basic civilians who aren't engaged in law enforcement or anything than there are in the law enforcement ranks. I think there's 880,000 sworn officers in the U.S. There's 88 million firearms owners with 11 million concealed carriers, and that number is growing on a daily basis. I mean, if we educate the community, if we train the community, we bring the community together, we have a real opportunity to be a force multiplier, to make our community safer simply by awareness. Not vigilantes out running around with guns, you know. And I don't want to be the guy running down a perpetrator for something. I'm not a police officer.
No, and actually, it's interesting. After the recent tragedies, the spike over the holiday season, a lot of people wanted what they referred to as trunk guns, an AR-15 for their trunk. Especially after the Paris tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
And the thoughts brought to mind, like, of course you have the right to protect yourself. That's totally up to you. But if a officer is on scene and sees you running down the road with an AR-15, how are they to know that you're not the terrorist?
Yeah, that's a great question, right? I mean, that's a split-second decision.
I mean, all you're doing is just taking that Hollywood vigilanteism and embracing that as yourself, like, I actually thought to myself when I started carrying concealed, when I first started, could I have drawn my firearm and be able to use it effectively and safely? And I came to a sad realization that no, I didn't. So I stopped carrying until I got the proper training that I could draw my firearm safely without shooting myself or having a negligent discharge and actually putting money on paper. And I believe that goes into that community that we need to build. It's not so much as putting a firearm on your person and saying that you're safe.
It's being proficient and comfortable with it,
and seeking the proper training
and understanding the holistic approach to a holistic approach to firearms, that it's not just simply enough to carry it and take it to the range and put rounds through paper that never charges at you, right? But I mean, it's important for you to practice and drill in a way that might allow you to actually utilize it, because paper doesn't shoot back. You know, if you stand still in combat, that's not good. You know, movement is life in combat. That's one of the things that's taught in the military. And so, like, again, back to that, to your method, that other company that I'm working on starting, it's about creating empirically based training focused on what the reality is. Something like 70% of self-defense shootings occur inside the home, and the majority of those, the individual walks into another room to obtain their firearm and to protect themselves, you know? And that's kind of interesting. You know, doing these drills that we're developing, we did one where we had the paper come home, the paper target, set it out at 7 yards, and told it just to hit the button for it to return back to the beginning of the shooting lane. And then we did a drill where we, you know, yelled at it to stop, stop, stop. And then somebody behind you calls firearm or gun, and it's my job to draw the firearm and engage that target. Wow, my draw went to crap. My rounds grouping went terrible. It was horrible. It was a very stressful environment. And that's paper. I mean, just paper that can do nothing to me. And it really drove home that I need to really increase my training and probably stop carrying my firearm in public until I'm at least comfortable and proficient in that. And I think that's a really important thing to understand beyond the basic four rules, right? And you guys, Jenny, you know the four rules now by heart, don't you?
Yeah, you know, always treat a firearm as it's loaded, even if it's unloaded. Keep your finger off the trigger unless you're ready to actually shoot the firearm. Always keep your firearm pointed in a safe direction.
Good night, ladies.
What's your...
Good night, sir!
Outstanding, the four laws. And that's crucial. And the beauty of our shop is that we do the transfers, right? So we get a lot of folks through who are looking to buy a firearm at a reasonable price, transfer at a reasonable price. And we get to engage each one of those, right? I saw Jeremiah walking somebody through their firearm. We didn't sell it.
That was a transfer through. We do that more often than not. It's not just, we're not making money off you. We're not making hundreds of dollars. There's no reason for us to walk through the firearm with you. No, it's extending that responsible firearms ownership. If that, you know, if a person comes in and transfers a firearm because they decided all of a sudden to get a gun and their buddy told them to get it on online at this such and such site, and their first firearm, well, are they going to go home and start playing with it and not have any idea how to use it? No. We want to make sure that person walks out comfortable with their firearm.
Knowing again, how it operates and breaks down and, you know, even, you know, the first couple steps of it. And then they really get, you know, the first idea of how it works. And then, you know, then they start doing YouTube. Honestly, there's nothing YouTube can't teach you anymore. That's what I tell people. And I'm like, you know, do you know how your firearm operates and breaks down? And they're like, yeah, I got it. And I'm like, well, when in doubt, you know, YouTube, there's nothing that it can't teach us anymore.
Mm-hmm. You should see Jenna's stripper Glock 43, that thing, dunzo, seconds. She's like, yeah, and this is how you tear it apart. I'm like, what did you just do? Your gun just fell apart, dude. yeah.
Let me break it down for you.
Let me break it down for you. But I mean, it's a really interesting discussion that we have. You know, after Paris, we had a 69-year-old female come into the store, never owned a firearm before in her life. And her sole purpose and interest in purchasing a firearm was to protect the children at the Kennedy Center. Now, there were so many things wrong with that statement. You can't carry a firearm in D.C. You know, you've never owned a firearm before, and it's going to take you months and months to become effective and proficient with that firearm. You know, just like I said, I've been shooting my entire life. I've been in the military. I shot in rifle team in high school. But just now I'm realizing that my proficiency with a handgun just isn't up to par. So to believe that buying a firearm, putting bullets in that firearm, and carrying that firearm is going to make you a safer person is a fallacy. Until you're trained and educated on that tool, you're actually more dangerous to yourself and other people than without that firearm. And so I think, you know, when we talked to that young lady about her desire to purchase, you guys remember, it took us about an hour and a half, 2 hours of chatting with her. And her final conclusion was, all right, you know what, I think I need to do a course. So she signed up for the beginner handgun course. Mm-hmm. And in the interim, I was like, you know, you could consider mace, you could consider a taser, which is equally illegal in D.C., unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But or you can really focus on that situational awareness and being prepared and thinking about, if somebody were to come into here, how would I react right now? And practicing that a little bit. Because, you know, how many of us look at where we sit down in the theater? Do we know where the exits are? do we think about what happens if the worst case scenario were to occur, say a fire or an earthquake or an active shooter or somebody had a heart attack? You know, a lot of us don't think about those things as we go through our daily motions. You know, we're just kind of existing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the biggest things I get, and unfortunately, it's usually first-time female gun buyers, and I'm making a I'm not segregating that, but the first thing I hear is, I don't want to get mugged in a dark alleyway. Well, the obvious solution here is to what?
If you don't want to get mugged down a dark alley, don't go down a dark alley.
Exactly.
That's a great idea, honestly. Well,
so the way your firearm, I mean, across the industry is your last line of defense. I mean, your first priority is to get yourself to safety. Now, if you're not in a situation where you need to get yourself to safety, that's your first step you've taken to keep yourself safe.
Awareness, avoid, de-escalate, egress, and at the last moment, if absolutely no other options available, do overwhelming violence so that you can survive.
Absolutely. And, you know, my family, we live in a townhouse. We have a plan in place that if there was a reason that we had to leave the home quickly, the exact plan to get out of that home.
And yeah.
Not necessarily going through the front door, leaving through. We have a ladder in our closet, one of those chain ladders,
mm-hmm.
so that I can climb out my window down to the balcony below and leave. So if somebody's coming through my front door that I don't want there, my first step is to get out the back door.
And let the cops deal with it.
Yeah.
But that same plan works for a fire situation as well. You know, your Absolutely. House is on fire and you wake up in the middle of the night. How do we get out of the house? Same way, right?
Yeah, don't go grab the safe out of the bedroom next to you. You need to let it go. You have insurance for all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. We were talking about, I want to take a step back real quick. We were talking about firearms and entertainment. I'm reminded when I was a young boy going to conservation camp, which basically is sixth grade. You go off to camp with your school for 3 days. I think that's probably done away with by now. A lot of kids.
I don't know. I remember instructing there, though. That was really a great time.
I did,
too. Did you go to – Jenna, you're a couple years younger than us. Did you go to conservation camp when you were up at school?
No.
They canceled that program.
They didn't give us that option.
Wow. That's a big change because, you know, Bradford's, you know, rural, small-town America.
Yeah. And so, actually, I got the chance to be an instructor in that from Josh. And for those of you who aren't aware, conservation camp is another name for a youth program where it takes children out of school and lets them go camping and shows them not survival instincts.
Nature.
It engages nature.
Yeah.
There was actually, we allowed the kids to shoot 22 long rifles, single shot.
And we provided individual instruction mm-hmm. to each child. Yeah.
There was archery. There was canoeing. There was nature walks. There was basic plant.
Fire building.
And fire building was one of them. There was basic plant and animal identification.
Yeah.
This is definitely starting to sound a lot like scouts.
Well, it is, except it was sponsored by the school district, and all children got to go at like I said, sixth or seventh grade, I think it was sixth grade.
Yeah.
Was it sixth grade?
Uh-huh. And the cool thing was is that it wasn't funded by the school system. It was through volunteers mm-hmm. in like volunteer teachers and students that would go and act as I guess ambassadors. And I think you had to be a senior or junior, but yeah. I was able to get in as a freshman because of Josh's reputation actually.
So, but it was a really good opportunity for those children to reconnect with nature, which was a big part of our culture growing up. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think these days there's a big push as young adults to get back into nature, go hiking, go climbing, go mountain biking. But there is a gap where, you know, a lot of us grow up inside of the cities and we don't have that initial contact with nature. And I think the conservation camp was a good opportunity. But anyways, I digress. Jeremiah was talking about the Mr. Carnes, I believe.
Yes. Mr. Carnes is a gentleman who very well growing up, a good family friend. Anyway, Josh and I worked on the rifle range with the students. Mr. Carnes made the story of if you watch something, say, we're going to take Die Hard, for example. Bruce Willis is shot multiple times, and he always walks out the front door down there real heroic, and, oh, no, it's just a flesh wound. Well, let's take a step back and think about science for a second. The human body is 60% water. That means it is 60%.
Oh, no kidding.
So if you fill up the human body of a 6-foot-tall male with water, it's going to come up to about his shoulder length. Now, if you've ever dropped a rock in a pond, you see the ripple effect. You know, and it goes for quite a ways. So if you imagine taking a bullet and shooting a human being with that, the ripple effect in that water absolutely would destroy that person. There would be no...
Cavitation is the topic exactly. that you're talking about. Yes.
So the example we put up is if you take a milk jug and you put it in, and you can do this in a safe range. You're welcome to try this experiment. You fill a milk jug up 60%, and you shoot it from 10, 15 feet away and see what happens to that milk jug.
Yeah, no. That's not it's kind of an amusing thing, especially if it's hot water.
Yes.
Yeah, it explodes.
It's absolutely destroyed. Now, you can see the entrance wound of the bullet, and it's just a little itty-bitty pencil-sized hole. But yeah. The back end of that milk jug is completely gone, and it's destroyed. So
we should get Mythbusters.
Oh.
No, I've seen this. I watched the
I met Jamie Hyneman once over in San Francisco in the grocery store. Yeah, it was probably like my he's a hero of mine. Yeah. Mythbusters. I'm a geek.
As a walrus, right?
Awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, with the walrus mustache. No, he's not a walrus. He's a human with a walrus mustache.
Oh, okay, I'm mistaken.
I think we're up for a break here in a moment. So tell you what, we're going to go ahead and take a commercial break, earn those dollars so we can stay on the air, and we'll be right back to continue this discussion.
Gotta pay those bills. All right, guys, we're going to take a break. We are the Gun Dudes Radio, sponsored by the Gun Dude on Nation First Radio. Check us out on Twitter at @the_gun_dude. Don't forget to take a look at nationfirst.us, and they are on Twitter at @GI_nation. Hashtag the Gun Dude. Hashtag MTN Thoughts. We'll see you in a few minutes, guys. Back to the Gun Dudes Radio, sponsored by the Gun Dude and Nation First. Check us out online at thegundude.com. Don't forget us on Twitter at @the_gun_dude. Also catch Nation First at @GI_nation. All right, want to give a shout out to our producer Jason Delgado today for helping us out and getting us into this. When we left you guys last, we were talking about what age was it appropriate to start educating children in firearms?
I think 1 to 2 years old, maybe even in the womb. I don't know.
I was thinking that, like, right in the hospital, just hand them a 1911.
Yeah.
Realistically speaking, I think generally, like, between 6 and 8 is a good...
We're having fun, and she's really like,
always bringing the voice of reason.
Yeah. you have to.
Phone's ringing, dude.
Mark and Zero Donnie.
No, seriously. You know, it's all individual based. It's all about the parents and when the parents feel comfortable to engage the children. But I think it's important at the very least to say, hey, if you come across a gun, go get an adult.
And on top of that, Josh, even the parent, if you don't feel comfortable talking to your child about firearms, bring them on down.
Yeah, we'll have that conversation.
We'll talk to them.
We do it all the time. We got a train set in the back, too.
We do. It looks like a dentist office, Jenna says.
It does kind of feel like a dentist office.
Oh, except it doesn't have that weird smell. What's that smell in the dentist office? You guys ever notice that?
Formaldehyde.
Yeah, but you
I don't think it's formaldehyde.
You definitely have the sound effects.
Chloroform?
With you out back running the whiz wheel, making your holsters, people have said, wow, you guys, sounds like you guys are a dentist office right now.
Hey, you know, dentists get paid pretty well. You know what? Come on down to the Gun Dude. I'll do your dental work at a discounted rate, I promise.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And after that, while you wait, you know, while your Novocaine wears off, you know, I'll make you...
Wait, Novocaine?
Novocaine?
No, what?
That's
what?
Not in the budget, Jenna.
No, yeah. No, that's definitely not in the
We're
budget.
We're definitely not
We're talking discount here.
You can't get better care in Mexico.
But you can come down and watch a movie, though. You know, we'll let you watch a movie while drilling your teeth. That's cool. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. No. It's one of my
Or you watch
things.
A movie while we're talking to your kids about guns.
Or vice versa.
We had that young lady that came in. A single mom lives in Falls Church. Somebody tried to enter their residence and freaked her out a little bit. Now, she grew up with firearms. Her father was in law enforcement, and then later an ambassador, interestingly enough. And she came in because her boys are reaching teenage years and interested in firearms. So we had a good one, about hour conversation. That's funny. It's about an hour, hour and a half when we sit down and have a conversation with a customer. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes we advocate to go home and think about it. Don't buy today. Come back. If you want to buy, come back and buy tomorrow. But think about it.
Yeah.
And that's
I had a lady... And again, this is all about the community, folks. I want to drill
she
that into your
heads. She came back
heads.
Again last night, by the way.
She did?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she brought, did. Brought her young, brought her, brought the youngest in.
Yeah. You want to talk about firing for his brother for his birthday?
Yeah, talking about his AR-15s. That was
yeah. It. Yeah. So again, I want to drill into the community that we're helping to build here as we're explaining these stories. Keep that in mind. But another lady brought in her daughter had been accosted by another young lady. And they were talking about getting pepper spray. And I asked the age, and the young lady was 17 years old. I said, well, I'd like you to bring her down, and I can explain to her the ramifications of using this, you know, and the responsibility that comes with not just having a firearm, but even pepper spray. And by the time we were all said and done, we agreed that the pepper spray wasn't necessarily the best route for this young lady to take because of the responsibility that comes with it. And some people can admit to themselves that they aren't ready for it. And that was
important.
That was, it's due diligence and our responsibility to help build those responsible individuals.
And look past the everybody's got the whole neutralize the threat, but, you know, a lot of people don't think past that moment. And that's when it gets really complicated. I mean, you know, the survival situation, if you survive it, you know, you come out on top. You've got a lot of work to do following that.
Mm-hmm.
It gets expensive. It's costly in time and resources, and not to mention the psychological factor. Now, sure, you know, mace probably doesn't come with a lot of psychological impact, but it can come with legal ramifications, and it's crucial that you understand that.
It can.
Absolutely. That's it, and that's why the use of firearms and self-defense course at the shop. It's a 3-hour course taught by a lawyer who talks about the laws, the actual laws, and breaks them down to layman speak so we can understand them.
A lot of people only think about up to the point of pulling the trigger.
Yeah, a lot of people do. And you know what's funny is out of all the courses, you know, the concealed carry course sells out all the time. It's $199, right? But almost no one is willing to pay $120 to listen to the lawyer talk for 3 hours. And so they have the CCW, but are comfortable in their minuscule understanding of the laws and how they apply to them in the utilization of firearms.
Save yourself the $7,000 that you're going to have to pay after you pull that trigger.
Seven? They're talking 30 to 50K in defense with
Save yourself 30 to 50K and spend $120.
Yeah, it's not even a sales pitch, right? That class scared the bejesus out of me. I was terrified afterwards. Oh my God. Yeah, because even in a justified self-defense shooting with witnesses and a weapon, you're still getting arrested, you're still going to court for defense, and even if you're innocent, they could still be civilly liable because there's a good chance a criminal's family is going to sue you for whatever they can get out of you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wow, it's mind-blowing. Yeah, in trying to relate to our customers, though, that this was the single best course in firearms I've ever taken, I still can't get people to come in and fill those seats. But tell me, where else are you going to spend $120 and get 3 hours with a lawyer breaking it down for you? That ain't happening.
Oh, hashtag free pizza.
Oh, free pizza. I am so hungry right now.
That sounds good.
Pizza every now and again.
I could eat pizza. Oh, we've got customers who bring pizza in the shop for us. They'll bring 3-4 pizzas in for us.
I'm going to hang out and have some coffee, eat some pizza. And one of my favorites every day is you know, what's Jeremiah going to pick to, you know, what movie are we watching today? You know?
Oh, that's always a fun game because I don't let anybody else pick.
No, you're always on top of this.
He puts stuff in. I'll come out of the back of the shop and I'll change the movie.
Be like, what are we watching? Well, for a while it was Star Wars. Yeah. Nothing but Star Wars. Up
Nothing
until the new one came out.
But Star Wars.
We watched the rerun of all, what,
I geeked on
it.
Star
Wars
Gun duties.
Oh, jeez. And then it's Top Gun. Top Gun's another big one. From Adam
That's
Sandler to anger
you
management.
Never close your eyes anymore when I kiss your lips.
All right. Sorry. Got to start it there. Anger management. That's a good one.
You can't go wrong with Jack Nicholson.
No. The man's a genius.
And, you know, admittedly, I'm going to say the number one that's played is Top Gun, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. The beach volleyball scene, Val Kilmer, Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, to really
this is
pick
great,
your guys...
man. I should have been a photographer.
I really want to pick your guys' brains. I think we should wrap up with a Top Gun trivia quiz.
Oh, this isn't going to be good. Can I use my phone?
No phones allowed.
Oh, Jeremy, get to close
this
the laptop.
Definitely your guys'
She said phones.
No phones allowed.
I feel the need.
All right, so question number one. Near the beginning of the movie, what do Maverick and Goose get in trouble for? A, for swearing at the MiG-28 pilot. B, for throwing confetti out of the plane. C, for not landing in his parking spot, or D, for carrying out an unauthorized flyby?
Unauthorized flyby. Yeah, yeah, you're going to be flying.
Negative Ghost Rider, pattern is full.
Nice, nice. Okay, ready?
So we have five questions, and we'll know if you guys got them right after we do all five. So question number two. What does Maverick say to Goose in the bar to let him know it was time to sing to someone?
I don't know. She's lost that loving feeling.
Oh, she has lost that loving feeling. I hate it when she loses that loving feeling.
That you can select from.
Oh, this is multiple choice.
Yeah, it's multiple choice.
Oh, this is why you failed.
I found that woman. B, I found that special someone. C, I've won the bet. Or D, she's lost that loving feeling.
Now I get to ring the bell. She lost that loving feeling.
We just woke Charlotte up. She actually raised her head for the first time for this entire show.
1 point for Gryffindor.
Oh, wow. This is an enter your answer. This is another selection. Number three. Who sings the love song, Take My Breath Away?
Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise sings it.
No. I think that we actually talking about the artist.
I know they are, but Tom Cruise sings it. I don't care what the answer really is.
No.
Who sings the love song, Take My Breath Away? I think they want the actual.
I think that wasn't Kenny Loggins. Kenny Loggins was Danger Zone. Do you have the answer or not? We're going to fail.
Not yet. So I'm going to just put Tom Cruise in there and we'll see what the actual answer is.
It's probably not Tom Cruise.
Probably
it's
not.
Tom Cruise. No, Tom Cruise. I don't think he can sing. It has something to do with his height. But no, is that wrong?
His chin line's pretty nice. So question number four. What song does Maverick tell Charlie his mother used to play over and over when she was upstairs? He'd have to restart the record.
Oh.
So it's A, Playing with the Boys, B, Danger Zone, C, Take My Breath Away, or D, Sitting on the Dock of the Bay.
Sitting on the dock of the bay.
And Berlin sings Take My Breath Away.
Who does?
Berlin.
You cheated.
No, I didn't.
No. We just found that we were resourceful.
Oh, yeah.
Scouts.
Yeah.
Boy Scouts.
Mm-hmm. I used my phone a friend.
Oh, yeah? You want to phone a friend? Okay. So, last question. Why do they call Iceman that name? A, he's from Canada.
That's how he flies. Ice cold.
B,
yeah, we don't need the multiple choice.
He's really mean.
C, he flies ice cold. Or D, he has no friends.
Slider.
So, you guys want to do the he flies ice cold?
He flies ice cold, yeah.
Submit my answers. All righty, let's see what we got.
We win.
So, oh, wow. You guys got all of them right except for three. The answer was Berlin for the, you know, who sings.
I answered Berlin. You could
have song, Take My Breath Away.
Nice.
Do we get the win this time?
So anyway, that's some of the fun stuff you look forward to when you stop down to the Gun Dude at 412 West Broad Street. Okay, folks?
You know what's kind of fun is when I'm sitting out back in the shop and I watch somebody park that we know, we start hollering their name as they walk in the shop.
Out the window.
Out the window, like up the
VIP
stairs.
Like a VIP with us, yeah.
Hey, Matt. Dr. Gorka.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dr. G. You in the house.
And you know what? You don't even have to stop down to the physical location to get information from us. The biggest one people get is phone calls. Admit we don't always get back to you right on time. So the best ways to get a hold of us, we have the live Twitter. Again, that's the_gun_dude.
Oh, that comes straight to my phone.
Yeah. You can harass Josh all the time.
Absolutely. He would love to.
He would really love that.
Send all your questions excited. Through Twitter. You can email us too
at dude@thegundude.com. That's one word. No underscores in that one.
Dude@thegundude.com.
You can also always check out nationfirst.us. And if you have questions, they'll get them right to us as well. Okay. And again, their Twitter handle is @GI_nation.
I still think they should come in for a cup of coffee. I mean, it's the Gun Dude brew.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can't not drink Gun Dude coffee.
And it's free.
The brewed coffee's
free.
If you want Jenna Lou to get up there and make you a specialty made coffee drink from the Gun Dude, you're going to have to pay a little bit. Not much, though. I think we're pretty competitive with Starbucks, and our coffee's far better.
Absolutely.
We do get that a lot. That's not just a self-proclaimed.
Yeah. And we get people who walk in the store with Starbucks coffee. I'm like, here, let me help you with that.
My spaghetti dinner's better than the Olive Garden.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's not.
I could eat some spaghetti. I think I'm hungry.
I'm hungry too.
I could eat some grub. All right. So that's what we got, guys. Thanks for joining us this week, and we look forward to having you back. Next week, like Maya said, you can check us out at thegundude.com. Catch us on Twitter, Tumblr.
Facebook?
Tumblr. Don't forget Tumblr.
Tumblr. Oh, Tumblr. Dude, there's a... What's that thing where they've got the discussion about what type of beer we like?
Oh, Reddit.
It's Reddit.
Oh yeah, we're up on Reddit. There are Reddit threads about what types of beer does the gun dude like, and lots of others is interesting. But yeah, we're on Reddit too.
I will not condone a course of action that will lead us to war.
All right, guys.
So we're gonna wrap it up. And Josh, I want you to know, bro, give me my wingman anytime.
Negative Ghost Rider, the pattern is full.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week, all right?
All right, guys. Thanks for joining us. Be well.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Rapid and strict ramifications associated with that, and you quickly learn that you don't point a gun at anything.
Even toy guns growing up, yeah. We were taught to treat them same factor.
Yeah, we were too, but I really don't think, and I'm not making an opinion here that no, you shouldn't have toy guns, but I don't think we had many toy guns growing up.
Squirt guns was a thing.
Yeah.
Not so much Nerf guns, but you know how you get those fake little cowboy guns that had the orange tip at the end, and they didn't do anything, but even then.
Yeah. Start treating them like real guns. Mm-hmm. You know, don't allow them to shoot people anymore with those toy guns. You teach them, here's the four rules, and enforce those four rules with the toys, and that'll carry on throughout their life. You know,
and the truth about it is, too, is you don't have, even if you are a firearms enthusiast, your kid doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
Or if you're not a firearms enthusiast, your child can be. The base here.
Bennett. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, because he works for us now. You know, he's very interested in firearms, even though his parents aren't. And he comes into the shop, spends a lot of time with us, and he's really become an enthusiast in the firearms industry.
And he's even brought his parents in. He's lucky. They're a little more open-minded.
Yeah.
But let me take a step back. It is about the education, not fear tactics, not you need a gun, you need to love guns. It's education and safety is the number one thing that you need. You don't need to. It is a great, great, great idea to ingrain in children at a young age.
Yeah.
Don't hand them an Uzi and tell them go have fun. Nothing like that. But, you know, the basics and safety of operations.
Wait, you have an Uzi?
I got two of them.
We'll keep that. But I mean, it's a great concept, right? We don't want our kids to have sex or do drugs, but we still educate them on the topic of how not to do that,
yes,
and to be safe, right?
And how to do it.
And so I think firearms are very similar. Even if we don't want our children to handle firearms, to understand that they're dangerous and that, you know, here's how to avoid them, and if you encounter them, how to deal with that. I mean, I think that's smart. You know, anytime we want to bury our head in the sand and not educate somebody, I think we've got a problematic scenario there. Education, I believe, is the solution to so many problems.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I feel community is the solution to so many of the challenges that we face in society today. I think it's very important for us to educate each other and come together.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're rolling up on another break here, Jenna. Are you keeping track?
Gotta make that money.
You're not keeping track of time, are you?
Oh, I'm always on top of things.
Yeah, you're over there tweeting again. All right, guys.
Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break, guys. Again, this is the Gun Dudes Radio, sponsored by the Gun Dudes, and we're on Nation First. Don't forget to check us out on Twitter, @_gun_dude, and also nationfirst.us. They're on Twitter @GI_nation. #NTNThought, #TheGunDude.
And don't forget Jason's radio show, Generation Murka.
Oh.
Okay, we'll tell you more about that next.
Tell you all about that.
See you back, guys.
Ciao. We'll be right back.
100 years, the battle cry of the VFW has always been the same. America needs to do more for veterans. From combat to Capitol Hill, the VFW marches on with healthcare, jobs, benefits, and justice. VFW.org is the first stop you should make on your way home. The VFW. No one does more for veterans.
This is Jason Delgado.
And Anita Wade.
Introducing you to Reality Radio on Generation America.
We aren't controlled, manipulated, or shackled by any government or big corporation.
But hopefully soon we will be.
We support our troops and all of our armed forces around the 165 locations around the world.
Go to nationfirst.us and listen to us live on Wednesdays at 11 a.m.
Subscribe to our podcast at
nationfirst.us. Generation America. Be there.
As our nation's military fights to protect and serve values we hold dear, the American Public Human Services Association is working to encourage equality, integrity, and teamwork to drive innovative and integrated solutions in Washington within the field of health and human services. Whether it's working to produce stronger outcomes and temporary assistance for needy families and more, at APHSA, we believe in healthier lives for children and families. As a voice of state and local health and human service agencies, visit us online at www.aphsa.org.
Hi, this is Blake Alvin, co-founder of Nation First Radio. I want to thank everybody for your support in this venture of ours. We're producing positive content that we hope will improve the world around us, not just scream, you're red, you're blue at each other. At this point, we're not asking you for money or donations or anything like that. Just subscribe to the podcasts, listen to the shows when they're live, sign up for the mailing list and text alerts. We're still developing the network and the shows, and your support has been overwhelming. You can find info about the show you're listening to now and all the others at nationfirst.us. That's nationfirst.us, and seriously, thank you so much.